You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come join our Discord. The Mixing Music Discord server is filled with tons of awesome information and people. People that can help you out and information that can help you grow your business and to help you improve your mixes. So come join us and find the invitation link at mixingmusicpodcast.com. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and today, as always, is our lovely co-host, Low Pass Lou.
Oh, baby. How on topic we are with that one.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something we don't typically talk about. We have talked about how you don't have to high-pass everything. We've not talked about... I don't think we've really talked about how we do... how we use low-pass, which is cutting out the top end. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about cleaning rumble with high pass filters, or what do they call it? It's either high pass or low cut. High cut. We're going to use all of them interchangeably. So a high pass filter is a low cut. You're letting the high information pass, and a low pass filter is a high cut filter. Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you are confused by that, that's how that works. We're going to use both terms interchangeably, but we're probably going to stick to high pass and low pass. Mm-hmm. And expect us to be confused at least once.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about it real quick. So there's a lot of creative uses. There's a lot of functional uses. But in general, there's lots of different, obviously a lot of channel strips, a lot of EQs offer not just low pass and high pass filters, but they also, like FabFilter Pro has like various cues. Yeah, bandpass as well. But I mean, various cues in the sense of you can have a 12 dB per octave slope or 24 dB per octave slope, 72 dB per octave slope, which increases.
Like even on my console that I use for live gigs, they start at 18, but they give you the range of 12 to 48 decibels per octave.
Yeah,
and
which
48
is basically,
decibels per octave is pretty steep.
Yeah, well, to put in layman's terms, it's just the aggressiveness and the steepness of the drop-off.
Yep.
Right, of the filter. So if it's like a 6 dB per octave, it's a very gentle. Shallow, not shallow, gentle slope that rolls everything off. But if you need an aggressive curve, just go for a higher one.
Yeah, like a 6 dB, you could almost you can almost relate it to like a low shelf.
Yeah.
You know, you're just taking it down just teensy bit.
So there's some things we need to talk about. For example, when it comes to high pass filters, like with vocals or just in general, they're not as much anymore, but there used to be a lot of like internet hype about high passing everything that doesn't have low end information.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny because like so much so that even manufacturing kind of leaned into it by creating like a fixed point of 80 hertz on almost all analog gear that needed a high pass. You know, so you'd find mic pre's that only had a high pass button and it was majority of the time 80 hertz. Not because 80 was some super, super good thing, but it was just like that was the one frequency a lot of people were cutting and it was easy to always have this one little piece that you add to your piece of equipment that you're selling that was, you knew it was always 80 hertz. So everybody had this one piece that was just popped in there, and it just gave space for like kick drums to breathe. You know what I mean? So yeah, that was pretty much it. It
didn't low end.
Yeah. Depending on like the vocal type, it might sound like it didn't do anything either. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Or depending on your monitoring.
it literally might not. You got some NS10s, 80 hertz high pass filter, not really going to be that heard.
Yeah. That being said, there are some things that I'm going to repeat from previous episodes talking about this, is that the point is, don't just high pass willy-nilly, like just because someone says so. The fact of the matter is, especially when it comes to like low-end stuff, like bass, 808s, kick drums, deep toms.
Deep toms especially. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as you high-pass something, it changes the phase and it changes the attack of the kick drum. It could change the feeling of the bass.
Yep.
Like for something that's seemingly only affecting frequencies that are below your hearing range, or the reproducible range, it will affect how it is created through the speakers. You will hear a difference. So make sure that you are paying attention to how it changes sound. It's not free. It's not just free headroom by cutting it off. It inevitably somehow changes the tone. And sometimes it is not as good. And then you'll notice, like, for example, there's been many a times where I've been putting a high pass filter on a kick drum thinking, oh, I don't need that much low end. It'll give more space for the overall headroom of the final master, and then also more headroom for the bass or whatever reason. Then I put a high pass filter on and I'm not paying attention. And then I even had clients notice on it, like the kick drum feels different or the bass feels different. I'll go back and I'll remove the high pass filter. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that was it. Like it is something that like does change how the low end is perceived. So remember that it's not free. It is helpful, but it's not free. So pay attention to how it sounds and how it changes when you use it. Yeah. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it is.
There you go.
And then, so in the context of like drums, phase is everything, especially if you want like punchier sounding drums. Compression can help, EQ can help, and all those things. Yeah, sure. But it's really, really important that you brought up that phase shift, just because, yeah, if you, let's say you're doing like a kick in and kick out mic on a rock band, you're inherently going to probably reach for a high pass filter on that kick in mic because you're probably going for the slappiness of it, at which point you're not really shifting too much of the low end phase, on the overall drum bus, because you're kind of just cutting it out. It doesn't exist there. But now, when it comes to the actual punch, like the top end punch of that kick drum, it might be starting to go out of phase because of the way you approached it. Now, you can always use phase tools to try to realign them and things like that. One of my favorite one is PI from SoundRadix. It's kind of an automatic phase alignment tool, but every single time it listens to an instance of audio, it's a different position and phase. So I have seen where if there's anything that has like a longer tail to it, like a floor tom or something like that, it can be a little bit wonky. Like you'll hear the phase come in and out, which I personally just don't like it for that. For kick drums, it can help. For snares, it can help if they're tighter. But it's something that you definitely want to pay attention to because it can affect your overall mix. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. More than people realize.
Yeah, it's something that's not really communicated all that well, which is why I like that you brought it up.
Yeah. But there are a lot of like, first off, let's talk about like the functional uses, like utility uses. Like there is something to be said about clearing up mud, like guitars or synths that don't need that much low end. Or even like high pass filters with overheads. If you're the type of person that like to use overheads mostly for the attack and cymbals, then you can high pass that as well. Or you can low pass overheads and mostly use it for the smack and the room and use less cymbals, or at least tame out some cymbals. That's actually how I use it more often than not. That's why my drums are like never super harsh, because I take a lot of time and focus on balancing out the cymbals.
Yeah, you can actually do like a low pass filter on drums just to kind of focus them up and sound like they're actually hitting harder too. Because instead of sounding like this big, wide frequency range, it's kind of like this very narrowed and focused energy at this point. And it does sound really nice, especially if you're trying to get them from clashing with like vocals and things like that. Because cymbals, like I tend to cut a lot out of like hi-hats. Not in the high pass, low pass range, but just in general, because there's such a washy mid range, depending on how the drummer is playing, that sometimes it just starts to cloud other elements. And so like trying to find where you can fit the real estate of like cymbals is already hard enough as it is, depending on the cymbal types and the genre you're working on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, make sure like that there's different utility stuff. More utility stuff includes like bass low pass filters, so like taming the upper string noise if you're using like electric bass, and or like it gets really slappy, that makes space for different things. I think the most between high pass filter and low pass filter, I think people inherently understand the point of like a high pass filter and low cut filter, but I think the thing that's most underutilized is actually the low pass or the high cut filter. We're gonna talk more about like even vocals. I notice a lot like, yeah, you can add air to it, but I think these days we're noticing vocals and mixes becoming a little bit more warmer. Like the more that I'm paying attention to like New Music Friday, mixes are getting a little bit warmer and there's less air stuff and there's more. So pay attention to that.
I'm kind of happy about that.
Yeah, and utility with effect sense, like filter returns for analog feel or just general warmth before or after the actual reverb or delay or whatever modulation insert to. Let's see here. So like I have a room reverb that I feed into all of my drums individually. Like I put it in the kick drum, I put it on the snare, like individually. Instead of like the drum bus, I put it on all the individual drums. But before that room reverb insert, I have an EQ before that is a high pass filter. So basically, even though I put the kick drum through it, it's mostly the attack of the kick drum, not like the low end boom of the kick drum.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah.
Yeah. So something I like to do with that, where let's say you're putting filters on things. I do it for delays. I do it for throw delays. I put the Pultec, I think it's called the HLF3C, which is just a 2-knob passive filter, but I just like the way it sounds. The only thing that you have to kind of be careful with sometimes with filters going into the effects is if you want more low end out of them and things like that, it's better to just pull away from those filters instead of trying to boost a ton after it. Just because at that point, it does change how the effects units respond. Now, if you like the way it's responding, you just want to fill it out a little more, you can always do post-processing. But if you feel like you're just not getting enough and you just want more and more and more, maybe just dial back the filters.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some creative uses as well, just briefly. Dude, automating low pass and high pass filters. Because here's the thing. Emotionally, low end feels exciting. It feels heavy, feels dense. Top end definitely feels exciting. If you want to go from a big... if you want to make the verse smaller to really make the chorus explode, one of the ways you can do that is with high pass and low pass filters. And there's a few different ways that you could do that, but one of the ways is high pass, low pass filters. Like put the high pass filter on the bass to like 80 to 100 hertz. You'll still get a little bit of low end, but you'll notice that in the chorus when it explodes, all of a sudden you're going to get like so much more low end depth and feeling, and it's going to feel like it exploded. Same thing with top end. I mean, I use one plugin I use a lot for creative automation, mostly to help with the feeling, is the one knob filter from Waves. It's just a single knob, and it's just a high pass filter. That's all it is. Or sorry, a low pass filter that you can automate. Okay, so emotional buildup. You can even do like dynamic stuff. I don't really do this, dynamic high pass filters for like kick and bass interaction or like ducking low end.
I do it. It works really well for me. But not as much in like the recorded side, but for live. Because shout out to the live guys on this one. But if you have like issues to deal with like stage bleed, let's say you're recording a live band too in the studio, sometimes some information is just being naturally bled into other mics. having dynamic filters actually helps. It helps a lot with like creating separation, but it can quickly sound pumpy. So you have to just be careful with it. But it's really nice when you're thinking of like, okay, bass player is running up the scale. And let's say they're not very good at maintaining, I guess, if you're playing on B and the E string is just rattling away on the bass guitar, that E is generating like lower tones that are just kind of, it's just rumbly tones. So if you were to set like a dynamic high pass filter to kind of tighten it up as they move up the scale, it can actually work in your favor, but you really just want like a range of like 10 to 20 hertz of like movement. You don't really need a lot of movement. You don't want to like be gating that section. I think I recently saw that there's like Yamaha released a console that now has like a dynamic gate, a multi-band dynamic gate. So it cuts off the low end, just completely shuts it off when there's no elements in that range. And the way they market it is like anti-feedback. But when you think about it in a studio sense, it's like, imagine all your low end just disappeared. It's just off-putting. So like doing a dynamic high pass, low pass filters can sound weird. So you have to be very gentle with it because it's just going to sound like this weird shifting of tones.
Yeah. There's
phasing
and stuff we're going to talk about as well.
Yeah.
That there's something to talk about. Even putting like lo-fi, like using it for like lo-fi type stuff, like low-pass filters for lo-fi stuff, bringing it down to like 4 to 6K on percussion or like background vocals can be really nice.
Yeah.
And honestly, going back to that drum thing that I was talking about with the overheads, that's kind of how you get that gluey top end with overheads. Mm-hmm. Like that analog style, like roll-off of the top end, which kind of like really, there's something really nice with cymbals, because cymbals and hi-hats especially are just inherently really harsh. And without like the analog roll-off of consoles or just even thoughtful EQ, they can come off with cheap cymbals too. Like they can just come off really brittle. Yeah. And so in order to get like that, the glue of the drums feeling all together, like it's really important to use some of that.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But DC politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Anyway, so there is the utility function, which is like clearing up frequency and creating headroom for gain staging and for future saving of that or using of that headroom for like mastering or loudness in general, or creating frequency space for different elements, right? But there's also like the creative stuff too. Okay, so emotionally speaking, we're going to talk about the feelings. So like now that we talked about what low pass and high pass filters do and how we kind of use them, in general, let's talk about emotions, right? Think about filtering like cinematography. You don't need every light turn on. You just need the right shadows, right? So it's kind of like that's like a fairly mediocre analogy, to be honest. But you don't need all the lights turned on. You need just good shadows to create emotions in cinematography, right? So when things are bright, they feel forward and urgent. When things are dark, they feel distant, soft, nostalgic. Like there's something emotional about using filters to create darkness and making things brighter, or keeping things bright to make them feel aggressive, forward, you know? Some problems, like if you use too much high pass filters or low cut, you're going to have weak guitars. Like guitars, especially like rock guitars, like a lot of that power and girth from those metal guitars comes from that low mids. That low and that low mids. Same thing with like vocals too. Like it's really easy to get overly thin vocals and quite frankly, like lifeless mixes. I mean, when we talked about earlier in the episode about like just putting on a high pass filter on a mix overall changes the low end completely. And you might not notice it, but it could really make a mix lifeless just from cutting out frequencies that you think you didn't think were audible.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Just make sure you do it on purpose.
And you know what's funny is a lot of times, I don't know, maybe it's different for you or you've seen this in the past. When I receive stems to mix, unless they took off all the processing, usually most things that are well recorded already kind of live in a lane where low end buildup or rumbling and things like that isn't necessarily a big issue. Like I don't see myself reaching for a high pass filter automatically as like my first thought of what to fix when I listen to a stem, whether it be the kick, snare, vocal, or something. Like a well recorded vocal could have information down to 40 hertz, sure. But that's usually like in a male baritone vocal, you know, somebody who's really, really close to the mic, so proximity effect is really happening. But there are some vocalists that record from like a foot away with a hotter mic, and they like that big open sound. And then you notice that there's not really much going on below 80 hertz. So really reaching for that high pass filter doesn't inherently like come up right away. Like it really... Like the higher you get up in the food chain of like when you're getting like bedroom recordings versus like pro studio recordings to mix, you'd be surprised. Like a lot of these pro studio recordings are already pretty well recorded, unless maybe you got the intern who tried something new and didn't, you know, didn't try it on somebody else before doing it on a pro session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's kind of it for this episode, really. I mean, the plugin that I use high pass and low pass filters the most is obviously FabFilter.
Well, I've got a couple quick little points.
Go ahead.
Just things I like to do. If you're familiar with the Voice of God, it's a very creative use of a high pass filter, which just adds a nice little bell to it. And the more you intensify it, basically what happens is it does a steeper low cut and it increases the narrowness of the bell. So what's cool about it is if you move that around, you can kind of recreate this in FabFilter for the most part, which is put a high pass filter, put a bell at that same point, if not just a little bit up ahead. So if you put a high pass at 100 hertz, you could do it at 100 hertz on the bell as well, or put it to like 110, just shift it a little bit. And then use those two like link together, highlight the two points and move them left to right and watch your kick drum focus up. I like using high pass and low passes to focus certain elements into ranges that they need to be so that you can create separation with these things. But once again, because you are shifting the phase, let's say that you have a synth bass playing 80 hertz and an electric bass playing 80 hertz. They're both supposed to essentially be occupying different spaces tonally, but technically speaking, they could shift each other out of phase. So I've seen situations where, like, weirdly enough, just elements didn't play well together because they're hitting the same note or range at the same time. Something you definitely want to check for, but it's not as common of an issue as an overall mix if they're two completely separate elements, because they usually occupy different character spaces. And that's where I'm trying to communicate this, where you can give them each their own space to exist within their own character. But if you're dealing with like multi-miking, that's where like you really, really start to see phase issues come up. Once again, going back to drums. But, you know, like you mentioned earlier, focusing up like background vocals into a pocket that then the lead vocals can then occupy the majority of the space surrounding that too. So like if you want your vocals to sound like they have more top end, a good way to do it is to low pass the backing vocals and other elements that maybe don't need it as much, like let's say the synth, like buzzy synths that have like a lot of top end on them. It's okay to kind of like tuck them in a little bit because you're giving space for the vocal to breathe. So you can actually create a lot of real estate by using these tools, you know, and trying to just be smart about it. So, you know, shaping the kick, tightening up some synths, giving vocals their own lane. But aside from that, this one, I don't know if you'll agree with me on this or not, because we've talked about like low end, whether mono or stereo or how we feel about that. But think of it as... you can kind of create a tighter bass by high passing the sides of your mix. You know, trying to get the low end to kind of focus up a little more in the middle may make it feel a little more impactful versus surrounding. So if you're going for like a big surrounding bass, like a pad bass kind of thing, then yeah, don't worry about like high passing your sides to focus it up, because that's not the goal. But if the goal is for some reason to make the low end feel tighter and punchier, more transient, you can try taking it out of the sides and see if you like it. But that's one way of actually getting it to focus up. Outside of that, it really just kind of comes down to, it's a better cleaning tool than anything. But when you're playing with, whether going with like 6, 12, 18, 24, 30, 36, 42, whatever, 48 decibels per octave, just know that the steepness also extends the range in which it affects. So when you say 6 decibels per octave, it's so wide that it feels like it actually reaches up. Let's say you put it at 100, it reaches up to 200. But let's say you do 48 decibels per octave, it's not reaching as far up. It's not going to reach the same way to 200. It's because it's so steep. So play with the actual decibels per octave on your high pass, low passes. Like on top end, I like to do 6 because I don't like taking away too much top end to where things start to dull out. But I do like leaving space for vocals to exist. That's personally my way. But there's also different types of slopes. Like there's a, I think it's called the Buttersworth slope. I forget exactly what it's called. I know it's on my console, but I don't want to reach over and look
Which
at it.
Which are emulated from like synths, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's different types of slopes you can play with. So be creative with it. Just try it out. If anything, I'm talking to a couple of bands to do some show file stuff, like practice tracks for people who want to learn how to mix like live bands and stuff like that, or practice on different consoles and things like that. So right now I'm reaching out to different bands, seeing who wants to work together on like creating something where they get a free recording, I get a product to help people out with. But one of the funny things is like, I'm always telling people to like, listen to the different types of, slopes that you can choose from, because they do ultimately change the character of the elements you're working on. So if you only have one high pass filter and it doesn't give you the option to change, just listen to it the way you always would. But if there's an option to choose the type of slope, I know you can change that with, I forget which McDSP plugin it is, but McDSP gives you the options. But just try it out. Just try it out. You'd be surprised how effective it can be just to change the type of slope it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like the concept of kind of like reallocating frequencies and moving them in different places, creating space as well in general. It is really important.
It's pocketing.
Yeah, pocketing. I like that phrase.
Yeah.
And in general, you know, make sure you give your mix room to breathe as well. Like less is more.
Yeah.
And filters are kind of like the art of less. You don't need to use that many.
Yeah.
And they are like, they're not just problem solvers. They're also like mood makers. You talked about that too. Like emotion. We talked about that too with emotions. So yeah. What's your favorite filter move? You know, you can go ahead and tell us if you're on YouTube or on Spotify. You can leave a comment, tell us your favorite moves, or create a discussion on our Discord.
Yeah.
Send us your favorite filter automation tricks, because I want to steal them, honestly speaking.
Low-key, I kind of want to hear about like some cool automated dynamic low passes. Like, how do you use them? I've seen people use them on like a sine wave instead of gating the sine wave. They'll high pass, low pass the sine wave and use that as like the expansion for low end on a kick drum instead of the gating method. Just because I've heard people say like, oh, gating it sometimes introduces phase issues. But if you use a sine wave and do a dynamic filter, it can help out like make the tail feel longer, because you can time the way it pitches up or filters upward. I'm like, that's kind of cool. I want to try that. Just haven't had the time or the opportunity to really play with it. But yeah, that's kind of a fun way to try it.
All right. Well, I think that's it for the end of this episode. We got a short one here. Thank you so much for listening. If you want more technical tips, go to mixedmusicpodcast.com/Patreon to check out our Patreon. For $4 a month, you can unlock all 250 plus episodes and new episodes every single week on the exclusive content. And yeah, and just signing up as a free member, you don't get access to those episodes, but you do get access to sweet PDFs, like free, a few free things that we have on there. So if you want some free stuff, go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/Patreon or /exclusive, which will take you to our Patreon. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come join our Discord. The Mixing Music Discord server is filled with tons of awesome information and people. People that can help you out and information that can help you grow your business and to help you improve your mixes. So come join us and find the invitation link at mixingmusicpodcast.com.